Hi, I'm Danette May, and today on Manifestival, I am chatting with professional soccer player, Austin goalkeeper, Brad Stuver. It was so fun to chat with him because we talked about what does it mean to manifest? Did he call in being a professional soccer player at an early age? And when he did so, what were the exact steps he took? And what are his beliefs on how you too can also manifest? Welcome to Manifestival, where you'll receive profound breakthroughs, courage to break old patterns, and live into your soul's purpose. Each week, I will bring you epic guests, live coaching, and manifestation tools to remind you of your power. You have the ability to achieve extraordinary things, and the time to start is now. I am so excited to welcome Brad Stuver to the show. Brad is a professional major league soccer player to Austin FC. However, his impact stretches far beyond his dynamic goalkeeping skills. Off the field, Brad is actively involved in advocacy work with organizations such as Athlete Alley Ambassador, Laundry Project, and more. Brad also serves on the board of directors for the Equality Texas Foundation. Brad's giving spirit has been recognized on both state and national levels. He has been a finalist for the MLS Humanitarian of the Year Award and is the only professional soccer player to ever be nominated for the ESPN Muhammad Ali Humanitarian of the Year. I'm so excited to dive in with Brad. This is a really fun episode. Let's get started. Welcome, Brad. Well, Brad, I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, I want to ask you, because you probably didn't know anything about me.
Why did you say
yes to coming on here? What was your intention to be here? Because you're busy and you have to drive your booty over here and get into this room. So what? Why?
I am a little bit selective in interviews that I do, but I did my research. I looked into the things that you espouse and kind of some of the conversations that you've had, and it intrigued me, and the idea of manifestation and kind of that type of living and the way that you visualize yourself in the future and how you can make goals in your mind. I thought it was very applicable to the way I've grown up and kind of professional athletes in general.
Wow. I can't wait to dive in with you because I feel like professional athletes in general, this is obviously stereotypical, but I sense that there's this really deep-seated rooting of understanding of the power of the mind, the power of thought, the power of action, belief in creating something and using your body, which I believe is this vehicle to create with. So we'll get into it, but I want to share with you my intention of having you on. And one is that just to get an athlete's perspective around this, but I feel like you're a huge advocate for really great things in life. And I feel like we need to have those types of conversations of really opening up this idea of love, of acceptance, of things can be different and still be okay and all that stuff. So I appreciate all that you do.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. When you were young, did you dream of this life you're living today?
So I dreamt of being a professional soccer player, like almost every kid that starts out playing soccer.
You would lay in bed and think about it.
Well, I would just see the professional players that I would watch and I would be like, that's going to be me one day. That's going to be me. Like, that's what I want to be. Now, I think a lot of people would say the same. Like, they have that same goal. They have that same idea that that's who I want to be. But I don't think anybody truly understands how tough it is or how much work it is to get there. But for me, I didn't truly realize that I could be a professional athlete until college. Even though like my dreams of being a pro soccer player were there, I didn't really go to college thinking I was going to be a pro. I was going to play soccer to pay for my education. Pay for my education and then go on about my life. But yeah, as kids, you see these amazing athletes doing the thing that they love every day. And you're like, that's what I want to do.
Right. And you almost have a belief system when you're younger. You're like, this is possible. This is going to be me. And then somewhere along the way, you get to going into college and you're like, I love it. I'm good, but I'm not probably going to be this level.
Yeah.
Beyond college.
I don't think when you're younger, you have the cynicism of life experiences. Like as you go, you kind of get hit in the face by things that happen in life and the decisions you make, the people around you, what's being told to you. You also have no idea what puberty is going to do for you. Like, it's one of those where that's a big role in professional sports. What your body looks like, how powerful are you? Is your body type right for the sport? So as a kid, you don't even think about any of that. You just think about how much you love the sport, how much you think you want to play professional soccer, professional sports. But then as you get older, all these things like creep into your mind a little bit.
Whoa. Okay. I hear this from people who identify as female where they'll be like, yeah, I like got into this role, whether it was dance or a sport. And I thought about my body and I thought about, is it enough to do what I want to do? And there was like all this criticism on it and questioning. You're saying you went through that too.
Yeah. For me, it was, I mean, I was a late bloomer. So I didn't really hit my growth spurt until late into high school, even into college.
So okay, so you were still in college.
I was 5'2" my freshman year of high school. By the time I graduated, I was 6 foot. And then when I went into college, I was 6'3". But I was
crazy, 3 inches in college.
But I was super skinny. So I was 160 pounds. So to be 6'3", 160 pounds, just learning about like my new body.
Totally.
Like it was very different. Like had to try and put on weight, do all these different things. And men in general do not have the same stigma around their body that women do. And it's not talked about as much for men, but I can tell you that it is a big thing in locker rooms. It is a big thing for these athletes because either coaches or trainers or all these people are always kind of saying, you need to look like this. You need to be this to be able to perform. And I think just professional sports in general, weight, power, muscle, like body shape, like all of those things kind of play a role. But by no means do men have the same standards that women do.
Yeah. Do you believe that if you have the belief, you have the training, and you have like training, meaning I'm working hard, I've got the right, coaches, and you have the belief and you have the intention, that it doesn't really matter, the youth, that you can create what you're wanting to create no matter what body you're in?
I would love to say yes, but I don't think so.
What are your thoughts on that?
So I think that there are plenty of people that have the right intentions. They have the dedication. They have the perseverance. They have the right training setup. And there are just times where things don't happen. I think there's been a lot of players that I've seen, privileged enough to play professional sports for 11 years now. There are plenty of players that I have seen that I would say are better than me, but they have not made it as far as I did. And some of that could be luck. Some of that could be timing. Some of that could be mentality. Some of that just comes down to the sheer how badly am I okay suffering until I get what I want. And there are times where like the suffering just gets to a point where you're going to go do something else because you don't think it will happen for you. And when you hit that kind of roadblock, there's two different ways you can go. You can keep going and believe that you can achieve what you want and try and find the people that will help you along the way, or you can just divert and go to a different life's purpose. So, I mean, I know a lot of people that have put in the work and done all that, and it didn't happen for them.
And let's talk about suffering, because I find this really fast. I'm really wanting to be curious about your mentality around all of this. So when it comes to suffering, I'm assuming you're saying you're training really hard, your body's hurting, like you're mentally feeling like you just can't get a break. That's what you mean by suffering. Or like other things could be going on in your life too, as you're trying to strive after.
Yeah, I mean, both physically and mentally. A lot of people look at athletes and they don't realize what's going on behind the scenes either.
In their personal lives. Yeah.
They don't understand just how much that affects you on the field. Right now, we have guys that maybe are having a baby and they're up 3 times a night with their wives, and then they have to wake up the next morning and go to training. In college, you have school, you have balancing a social life.
Totally.
Before that, you're still, how are you maintaining your childhood, being a kid? How much do you sacrifice? What are you willing to give up to play the sport that you love? Do you have a family member that is in the hospital? All of these different things like go into how a person kind of perceives life and how they go about what they do. And I just don't think, when you look at sports, how are they performing on the field?
Yeah, you don't see all
if they're bad, they must not be doing well in training. But that humanization of athletes almost never happens.
So interesting. So have you had moments where you hit against the suffering and you were like, I have a decision to make?
Yeah, plenty.
Can you tell us? Can you share a story or experience?
It took me 8 years to become a starter. I didn't become a starting goalkeeper until I came down here to Austin. I played for Columbus for 5 years, New York City for 3 years, and then I was always the backup for those teams. And it was one of those where I was...
When backup means You're just not getting much playing time.
I was sitting the bench. Yeah. I was at
You're
the
training
games,
as hard as everybody.
Training just as hard as everybody, but not playing on the weekends.
Yeah, well, the fun part.
Yeah. And for me, it's very difficult. And as you get older, there's this idea that if you don't become a starter by a certain age, that it probably just won't happen for you. I was 29 years old. I probably had one more chance to try and become a starter. And if I didn't do it, I probably would have never gotten another chance just because of my age. And coming here to Austin and having the ability to compete for the starting job and winning it ultimately, it's one of those things where I could have given up so many different times throughout my career. There were times in Columbus where I was fighting for the starting job, but got beat out by another player. And there, I could have just been like, okay, well, it's not in the cards. I can just stop and go do something else. In New York, I played for 3 years. They told me that I was going to play a little bit more than I was, but at the time, their goalkeeper was ridiculously good. And when I didn't have the amount of games that I needed, it was either find a team that I was going to be able to be a starter on, or just continue being a backup somewhere, or transition into a new role. So all of these things kind of go into your mind and how you want to perceive your career and believe. But luckily, I have a rock solid foundation around me. My wife has been with me since the very start.
That's huge, by the way.
It's amazing.
Because then you know, once you really are climbing up the ranks, you know that they really love you in your dark, in your heart.
I mean, she has been through it all. She has seen me at my worst. She has seen me at my best. And she is willing to move with me everywhere. So when you think about a player getting traded, you don't think about the families that have to pack up, move, leave friends, leave a house or an apartment that they love, leave their family. I mean, I asked her to move to Columbus with me straight out of college. And that's 2 hours from family. And then 5 years later, it's like, oh, well, we're going to New York, which is a 7-8 hour drive, still pretty close. And then I looked at her, I was like, well, we're going to Austin. And throughout all of that, you have to say goodbye to friends. You have to be so far away from your family that it's a little bit different. And for me, having someone there with me through it all and just being like, yeah, this is your dream. I support you. Like, I want to be there for you. I don't envy the life of the significant others of players at all.
No. If she was sitting here right now, what would she tell me is the hardest part?
I think she would say dealing with me with like the emotional side of it.
Yeah.
Like, one of the hardest things for us is not translating the emotions that we have from the sport into our home lives. When you have like a very difficult season, when you have a bad game, you have all of this pent up like anger and sadness. And it is very difficult not to go home and just have that be part of your personal life. So I think for her, her toughest moments are, how does she like interact with me when she knows that I'm not in the best state of mind? And I hate that she has to think about that, because it's almost like she's walking on eggshells around me because she doesn't want to like upset me anymore. But it has nothing to do with our relationship. Yeah. It has nothing to do with her. It has nothing to do with me. It just, this sport just elicits so many emotions that it translates everywhere. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So for someone who has a dream, whatever the dream is, because I believe we all are hit with inspiration or this idea of, oh, I would like to experience that. I would like to try on that as this human in this body. Like, let's try that. What would you say is the formula that's worked for you to get the things that you've desired in your heart? Have you ever taken time to read the back of an ibuprofen bottle? It's pretty mind-blowing that anyone still takes that stuff. It says right there on the bottle that the risks of it include heart disease, blood clots, strokes, and kidney failure. I'd rather find a safer way, more natural way to ease my body. Besides that, ibuprofen is only masking the pain and it's downright dangerous, especially for older adults. Since the root of most pain is caused by inflammation, I'd much rather turn to a super nutrient like omega-3 fatty acids that do more than just ease inflammation. They help prevent it altogether. So there is something that actually does this. It's high quality krill oil. It is not farm raised, which is good. I wouldn't settle for anything else than wild caught krill for my omega-3s as I would the fish that I actually ingest. So Native Pass omega-3s are sourced from some of the deepest, chilliest waters of the Antarctic Ocean, making them free of heavy metals like mercury, unlike regular fish oil. And Native Pass krill oil contains astaxanthin, one of the most powerful antioxidants found in nature. I don't know if you knew this, but astaxanthin is 550 times stronger than vitamin E, 800 times more powerful than CoQ10, and 6,000 times more potent than vitamin C. Pretty cool. Native Pass krill oil is formulated to be the most bioavailable, which means it's more quickly and easily absorbed in the body and goes right to work, so you'll get all the benefits and results quickly. Right now, Native Path is giving you, my listener, a crazy good deal, as low as $19 a bottle. So go check out this special offer at getnativepath.com/Danette. I'm going to actually spell this out for you, but the best part is, aside from helping keep inflammation at bay, omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, swelling, and joint pain. It can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, Tylenol, and it doesn't have the dangerous side effects either. So for a limited time, Native Pass and Arctic Krill Oil is giving it to these to you, the listener here on this show, as low as $19 a bottle. So you're going to go to getnativepath.com/Danette. So let me spell that. Get Native, G-E-T, Native, N-A-T-I-V-E, Path, PATH.com/Danette. D-A-N-E-T-T-E, to get your special offer for being a Manifestival listener. This is while supplies last. So if you feel swollen or you have achy joints and you just want to feel better right away, go ahead and get yourself some Native krill oil. How cool is that? Love you guys.
I think the biggest thing is surrounding yourself with the right people.
Ooh.
For me, I have found that having the right people around you will give you the right mentality, the right push, and kind of the truthfulness when you need it, whether it's hard or whether it's congratulatory. I was saying that I didn't really think that I was going to go pro until college. And that is when I met like the biggest mentor of my life. He was my goalkeeper coach my freshman year in college. And to this day, he's still my agent. He was the officiant at our wedding. And he's truly just like a part of my family now.
How do you find someone like that?
Lucky.
Because I would say some of the top athletes that I know of have all said the same thing. They say, and outside of that, like whether you're an actress or actor or anything that's quite demanding of time and skill, they were like, you have to have like, whether it's an agent, a trainer, mm-hmm. like someone that's in your corner, they know everything about you and they got you. They see where you're going and they got you.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, that's exactly what it was. I got lucky because he was the goalkeeper coach at my college that I went to. I knew nothing about him before I met him. But within the first 2 weeks of meeting him, he looked at my dad and he said to my dad, yeah, your son can go pro. My dad laughed at him because we knew nothing about it. And we only knew him for 2 weeks. But he told my dad, yeah, if he stays with me, he will go pro. And that's a story that he tells all the time. It's a story that I tell all of the kids that he trains. And for me, I put a lot of trust in him. He put a lot of trust in me. And we trusted each other to a point where it was just constant. Like we
were. How often would you talk with him?
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah. So in college, he stopped being the goalkeeper coach for the college after my freshman year, but I would go train at his house. I would drive 45 minutes to go train at his house. During the summers, I basically lived at his house. I would coach and like train myself for 7 hours. So I would coach during the morning, then I would train with him, and then I would like weightlift and do all that type of stuff. He welcomed me into his home. His wife thought he was crazy at the time.
Wow.
She looked at him not too many years ago and she was just like, I don't know how you saw this. I tell him that too. I was like, I don't know how you saw this. I don't understand what you saw in me because I didn't see the same thing.
That's powerful.
And I think just for anybody that has a dream, just having somebody
mirror that back.
Yeah, that truly believes in you, but also is willing to give you harsh criticism. He's not only
nice to me.
He's not always nice to me.
Yeah.
There are times where I text him after games, he was like, "What the hell did you just do?" But when the tough talk needs to be done, he has the tough talk. But he will always be in my corner. Just like my wife will always be in my corner. And just being able to have that support system and to not feel alone in your journey makes it so much easier.
Wow. Okay. So if yours kind of just came to you? I'm going so off tangent, but I'm like so intrigued by this conversation because I was in journal writing and it feels to me like, you know, if you think about these racehorses and if it's, you know, the racehorse doesn't go to the agent and be like, I'm a racehorse, will you take me on? The agent spots the racehorse. This was like your scenario. He spotted you and was like, no, I'm calling out the star in you. I'm calling out your greatness. I see it. That's kind of how racehorses are too. They're born the way they are. You're born the way you are, the gifts that you have.
And not every person is going to see the same thing, right? And so there are some agents that will look at a player and think, no, probably not. But then another agent could look and be like, he has something special. She has something special. And it just comes down to how much trust do you have in each other? And what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to do to make that a reality? Because he could have said that to me and then I don't trust him and I don't put the work in. And then I missed that opportunity because there was somebody there that wanted to help me, but I didn't want to help myself and put myself in a position where I could succeed. So it is a two-way street because there is a lot of sacrifice in it.
Yeah. Okay. So you said the first one was having the right people in your corner. What's the second? Or do you remember the first question? We went off on a tangent. It's like, what do you think makes it so someone actually manifests the dream that in their heart? What are the key things that helped you get to your dream?
I'd say the second thing would be just perseverance and sacrifice. There's a lot
of times.
Sticking with it. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times, like when you look at actors or actresses, they go to a lot of auditions and sometimes they get a lot of rejections, but they keep at it. They keep going and they're just waiting for their one moment. In sports, it's the same. You never know who the right person is going to be that gives you your chance. Sometimes you're not going to be the right fit for a team and you need to find another team that's going to be the right fit. You're going to learn lessons along the way, but you have to be willing to persevere through the hard times. And you're going to have to sacrifice a lot. I mean, it's not easy to do what we do. It's not always fun when you have to miss weddings, you have to miss funerals. I didn't go to my senior prom because we had a soccer tournament. There are all of these things that you look at the stereotypical life where you go to all of these big events. There are plenty of things that I have not been to. And luckily, my family and my friends understand the willingness to sacrifice. So that's why I always say the people around you make a big difference. So.
Yeah, because they understand. Yeah. So that's two. How much is belief play in this?
I mean, a lot. When you look at, like when I say perseverance and sacrifice, you have to have a belief in yourself to do those things.
Or you wouldn't persevere or sacrifice.
You wouldn't have the ability to do those things if you didn't truly believe. And the people around you, when I look at my agent, he's the one that gave me the belief. He was the one that told me, you can go pro. And that was something that I didn't believe before he told me. And I put my trust in him. And then all of a sudden I start believing it. And then I'd persevere, sacrifice, all of these things. So I just feel like that's totally ingrained in everything that we do. Because if you don't have the belief in yourself, you're not going to do the things you want to do.
Wow. What else would you give to somebody who's, whether they're an athlete or not, like I want to really make this to someone who's really listening to this and they're like, oh, I have a lot of respect for athletes, but I also have this like thing in my heart that I'm thinking about at night and I'm thinking about in private. Do you have any wisdom to share with them if they're like, God, I have this thing that's not letting me go. I've been thinking about it. I want to do this, but I don't really know.
Yeah, I know there's like a lot of difficult things in life. If you're stuck in a job that you don't truly believe in and you want to transition into a new job or something that you think that would be a better fit, there's all these different things that you have to take into mind. Obviously, there's the paycheck, there's the healthcare, there's the current ecosystem of the world right now. And sometimes it's difficult to give up a steady paycheck and healthcare to kind of chase your dreams because you're doing okay. You're living a life that you like, but it's not truly the thing that you want to do the most. And so I understand the difficulty of that. I would just say that if you truly believe that you will succeed in the thing that you want to do, it is worth taking the risk. You may have to sacrifice a little bit of your everyday life. You may have to sacrifice downsizing to a smaller apartment, getting a roommate, or going into a little different spending, like going out or restaurants and that type of stuff. But there is a way that you can chase your dream and make it a reality. But it just goes back to how much are you willing to sacrifice? Are there things in your life that you are willing to give up to kind of chase what you want to do to make that a reality. Because it does take hard work and all of these things don't come easy.
When you hear this saying, what you seek is seeking you, do you feel that that's the case for destiny, that what you seek is seeking you? Or do you feel that you are the seeker primarily?
See, this is where my wife and I might disagree.
I love to hear what you feel. Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer that like you need to go out and kind of seize things when they happen. I believe that all of our choices kind of take us on a route and there's not like one predestined end. Like everything is kind of changing based on the choices that we make. And we may miss things based on the choices that we make. So there could be an end that we could have had if we made different choices along the way or the different life experiences that we had. I think that there are different things seeking us at all times. And it's up to us to try and find which one is the one that we'll end with. My wife always says, like, don't put that out in the universe. Like, I don't want that to come true. Like, it'll find us if you put it out there. Yeah. And for me, the biggest saying that I have, like my very first two tattoo was everything happens for a reason. And I've kind of expounded on that, like as I've gotten older, yes, everything happens for a reason, but you just don't know why. And how do you react from what happens? What choices do you make after that? And for me personally, I believe every choice makes a like huge directional change. So I don't think we're all like there's one end goal in everyone's life. I think that there are a plethora of endings for everybody and our choices will kind of weave us to the one that hopefully is the one that you want. Like there's like the best one.
So you don't necessarily believe in destiny then?
No. I think there's too much work and I think there's too much like kind of like up in the air. I think we have...
There's a lot of paths. You're saying there's a lot of options of endings? And it's not necessarily just one.
Right.
Okay. Do you believe in like there's one soulmate for people?
No.
Okay. Because that's kind of the same kind of concept. No, it's just based off your choice. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I know people that believe in soulmates and I get where they're coming from. Like it's an awesome idea. But I also think that relationships take a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like your soulmate could be your soulmate. But if you don't put the effort into your relationship, if you don't...
It'll fall out.
Yeah. Yeah. That relationship will fail if you do not put the work in. Like everything else in life, the relationship is like constantly growing. You as a person, you're always growing. Your partner is always going to be growing. You're going to have lived experiences that you see differently. Do you have the communication skills to get through things together? Are you willing to go through the hard times together? Or do you want to bail when things get difficult? So for me, I think you find somebody that you really like and you make it work.
Wow. Where do you see yourself in 7 years?
I just got asked this by a middle schooler yesterday.
A middle schooler?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen to this middle schooler. Did they say seven years? I'm going to love this.
They said 5 to 10 years. I was like, wow, I have no idea. I mean, hopefully I'm still playing soccer. I would love to still
keep
be
going.
Playing soccer. Yeah. For as long as I can. That way I can postpone what I have to transition into next. But yeah, I don't know. I would love to still be here in Austin playing soccer. But if not, there are plenty of things. I love the advocacy work that we're doing. I see myself trying.
Why don't you describe what that advocacy work is? Can you?
Yeah. So right now, two of the biggest organizations that I'm a part of is Equality Texas. I sit on the board of directors and they are the largest LGBTQIA+ nonprofit here in Texas working toward four full equality and equity for the LGBTQIA+ community. And then the other one is Current Initiatives, the Laundry Project. Ashley and I got started with that back in 2016. It's an initiative that we fundraise money, we get donations of laundry supplies, and then we go into underserved communities to a public laundromat and pay for anybody that walks through the door for about 3 hours.
Just get clean clothes and to feel new again.
And there we have projects probably in over 60 cities across the country.
Wow.
The CEO and founder is based out of Tampa. And they actually just did their 1,000th project day in 15 years of the organization.
Out of all the things you could donate your time, resources, voice for, why these two?
So it was a long journey. We worked with a lot of different nonprofits throughout the years. I think we got involved with the Laundry Project because Ashley's best friend from high school, her and her husband worked for the organization, and they kind of brought it to us and said, hey, we're doing this. We would love if you brought this to Columbus, Ohio. And we did the first one, didn't know much about it, but when we did it and we talked to the people in the laundromats, there was just this instant connection. And we were like, yeah, this feels good.
This is an amazing initiative.
It is something that too many of us take for granted. It's not something that we think about every day. So we've tried to take that to all of the cities that we've played in, and we've brought it here to Austin. And it's probably one of the better initiatives that I've been a part of.
Nice. And why the first one?
So Equality Texas, I got involved with through another organization called Athlete Ally. And that is a LGBTQIA plus nonprofit that focuses on sports and equity and equality in sports for the LGBTQIA plus community. And I've just kind of been drawn there. I grew up, my uncle is gay. I've seen firsthand kind of the struggles that he's gone through in his life, hearing stories about how it was difficult for him to tell his parents, how it was difficult for him to live a normal life, how his husband was married, had kids before he came out later in his life. So I grew up on all these stories, and I've seen just how many families are affected and just how difficult it is for that community to just live as their authentic selves. I really wanted to use the platform that I have and kind of the power just to show that I am an ally. It doesn't need to be my voice that's being heard, but I want people to realize that it takes more than just that community to speak up on behalf of
their
rights.
That's awesome. It takes more than that community. All right, last question. You're standing in front of millions of people, millions and millions. You can't even see the last head. And it's your last sentence or word before you exit this planet.
Wow. I would say do the little things well consistently.
Do the little things well consistently.
I think for me, everyone has this idea that they want to make these big grand changes in the world. They want to change the world in one action. And for me, I just think if everyone focused each day on doing the little things and making little changes, doing a good deed, doing just small actions for each other, the world would have bigger change over time than if everyone tried to make big changes all at once. So for me, like, that's what I try and tell people. That's what I try and do. Like, I don't want to make a big change in a week and then it fall away. I want to be consistent. I want to make sure that I'm doing things consistently and helping in a way that you don't just show up and fade into the background. Because of my privilege and the way that I was brought up, I can do that. I can show up whenever I want and then disappear because it's not my fight. It's whatever. But in order to be good allies, in order to be good people, I think everyone needs to be able to show up consistently and effectively.
Wow, so good. Wow, you are really fascinating to chat with, and I appreciate your vulnerability, your honesty, your realness, and it's going to be fun because now everybody listening can be cheering you on. And when you're playing, what's the date of the first game? Do you know?
So the schedule doesn't come out for a couple weeks.
Oh, not for another couple weeks.
No, but
I don't know.
The very first game is, I want to say, the weekend of February 25th.
Okay, February 25th. Look around that time.
I would say around that time. Somewhere around that time. Yeah.
We'll say that. Okay, well, we'll be cheering you on and sending you and your family so much love. And thank you so much for being here on the show. Appreciate it. Well, thank you for having me. You're welcome. It was so fun to have Brad on today. I know you guys gleaned so much valuable information. I'm so grateful for his vulnerability. You guys, being and doing Manifestival has been so much fun because I get to interview amazing people and bring this information to you. So by being a part of the Manifestival family, I would ask that you go ahead and go and follow and rate the podcast. Go in the upper right-hand corner, wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Apple or Spotify. Leave an honest review, click that follow button. This really helps us keep the lights on. And if you feel called to share this episode out, please do so and tag me so I can thank you personally. Sending you all my love, and I'll see you on the next episode. You hear me say this all the time. Do not underestimate the power of protein. Protein is your friend, especially if you're over 35 or older. And I try to get protein in every single meal. Plus my athletic daughters, I try to make sure they're getting clean protein in every single meal. If you want to release fat and tone up, a breakfast that's high in lean protein is the best way to set your body up for success. And believe me, I get it. There's not always time to cook breakfast for yourself. My mornings get hectic too. But what I've been doing is I've been using Roots protein powder. So I'm very particular about what I put in my body, and that's why I love Roots, because it is all approved. It has no added sugar, nothing artificial, no GMOs, all the things I look for. And even my daughter that's in college is asking me to send her some Roots protein. It's a game changer because not only does it have all the nutrient-dense qualities that I look for, but it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So I can add it to smoothies. I can add it to some of my baking things and it tastes super good. But what I also love about Roots protein is it has greens in it. Yes, I said greens. You won't taste them. Electrolytes and other superfoods. It's pretty cool. And for a limited time, Roots is giving my listeners here on this podcast a chance to try it for yourself for up to 50% off. You're going to love this stuff. So how you get up to 50% off is you go to try.rootsnutrition.com/Danette. I'm going to spell this out for you. I'll also put the link in the show notes below, but let me spell this out because Roots is spelled a little different. Try, T-R-Y dot Roots, R-O-O-T-Z, Nutrition, N-U-T-R-I-T-I-O-N. .com/Danette. Danette is spelled D-A-N-E-T-T-E. So I'm going to read that one more time. try.rootsnutrition.com/Danette to get a whopping up to 50% off Roots protein and all of their products. How cool is this? So I can't wait for you guys to try it.